You know that feeling when you're doing everything right and you're checking off all the boxes and you're doing everything you think you should be doing, but something just feels off? Something feels off, Podsters, because it is. Is your career or is your life, are your actions aligned with your values and your priorities? That's the question. And in today's episode, I have an expert, Erin Gerner. She's a former practicing lawyer turned coach and advocate for women in the legal profession. She and I talk about how to honor the seasons of your life, how to, you know, this is one of my favorites, make strategic decisions and then have the grace to honor those decisions, how to beat overwhelm, and the importance of community. I promise you, you will get several nuggets from this episode. So buckle up.
Are you ready to speak up, stand out, and get your seat at the table? If so, you're in the right place. Welcome to Unmute Yourself, the podcast where you'll get real life anecdotes and actionable tools for you to step into your strengths, debunk imposter syndrome, truly know your worth, and show up like you own the room every time. I'm your host, Nancy Medoff, who did the thing and followed my passion for empowering women like you to unleash that inner spark and become who you know you are meant to be. I'm a diehard foodie with a raging Skittles habit who will not stop until women everywhere unmute themselves and truly thrive at work, at home, or wherever you may be. Let's do this.
What is up, Podsters? We're back and I am back. I have all kinds of all the things for you today. I have a special guest. I have lots of birds chirping in the background. I have some people around me in the condo that wouldn't normally happen. So we're just doing it. Remember the paralysis of perfection? We're not going to let that stop us because this guest, I got to tell you, if you were to look up powerhouse in the dictionary, pretty sure her picture's there. And not only that, did we meet on LinkedIn?
We did.
It's a great story. So let me introduce Erin and then I'll talk to you about how we met. So Erin is a former lawyer, attorney, turned coach and advocate for women in the legal profession. Podsters, get ready for this. She's on a mission to help women combat overwhelm, realign careers with values and priorities, which we are all about here at Unmute Yourself, and foster a sense of community among law-minded women. So Erin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Nancy. I'm so excited to be here.
This is going to be epic. Erin, tell the Podsters how we met.
So yes, we just slid into the DMs, as they say on LinkedIn. You know, we're doing it. It's not, I don't even know what they call it, the messages on LinkedIn. But anyway, LinkedIn is actually my favorite playground to meet people. People get very intimidated by that platform, but I am telling you right now, I have met probably 99% of the powerhouses I have met over the last 2 years building this business have been through LinkedIn, through just messages and putting yourself out there and saying, hey, like, this is who I am. I love what you're doing. And I would love to connect to see how we can help each other.
That's exactly what happened. So I think I saw a post and it was an excellent post. And I said, wow, I love everything you're doing. So I looked Erin up and I said, wow, I love everything you're doing. And I DM'd her and we became buds. And here we are. She is going to drop some nuggets for us today. So before I get into that, I forgot what I was going to say. It was important for the Podsters and I can't remember, but that's okay. Has a really cool story and I want to get to that. But before we get into, you know, kind of her journey from being an attorney, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
Sure. Yeah. So I have a company that's called Powerhouse Lawyers and it is a community for women in the law. And it's really networking and community completely reinvented and done like never before for female lawyers. And I host in-person retreats as an extra added part of the community, which has really been able to facilitate some really massive connections between women in law and just really foster connection, like I said, like never before. So it's real fun.
I love it. So for my attorneys out there, go over to, is it powerhouselawyers.com?
It's actually erin gerner.com, erin gerner.com. And you can find all the info. Yep.
So, and we'll post that in the show notes. So, Podsters, you won't be surprised. Erin and I are very like-minded on a lot of things. I love her podcast. That's called Powerhouse Lawyers, right?
Yes, that is okay. Called Powerhouse Lawyers. Yep.
And every time I listen to one of her podcasts, it's almost exactly what we talk about here. So I'm so excited. So let's get started. So let's talk about, you know, one of the key things, for lack of a better term, that you're out to help women with is to combat overwhelm so much that this is part of your positioning. It's part of your value proposition. So tell me a little bit about what overwhelm means to you and how you help women combat overwhelm.
Sure. So what overwhelm means to me is that feeling, that anxious feeling of constantly feeling like you are always behind. It's always up to you and you're never getting enough stuff done. It's really that old adage of like, you're just juggling so many balls at one time and you're trying to do all the things and be all the things for all the people, but you cannot seem to ever feel like you're accomplishing anything. It honestly, to me, the feeling that I resonate with most and the feeling that the women that I work with resonate most, like we're always behind. There's just something, you know, like we're always behind. We're just one step behind the eight ball. Like we can't ever just check the items off the list. That's what overwhelm means to me. And I think it's really present in female lawyers, especially because a lot of us are moms. We are working, you know, very high, demanding, prestigious jobs, and it's hard to cross things off the list. It's hard to decide what's a priority when everything seems like it's important. And that's what I help women with.
That's amazing. And if you think about it, there's always going to be another thing to add to the list. So if you're a powerhouse, you're always going to be adding to your list. So it's really understand that there's always going to be a list and, you know, just let it be, you know, it's interesting because just this morning I was saying to myself, I can't get ahead. And it's not that I can't get ahead. It's that other things keep popping up. There is no finish line. There's no finish line, right?
And that's what we have to understand. It's just being able to shift your mindset from, oh my gosh, I'm so behind, of how can I best set myself up today to accomplish what I need to accomplish? Because you're right, the to-do list is never going to end. And once we accept and get to the point of like, okay, it's fine to have this list, but how do we actually take this list and make it be our ally instead of our worst enemy and actually get things accomplished?
I love that. Make the list your ally instead of your enemy. That's great. So how do you approach delegating? By the way, Potsters, none of this is rehearsed. Erin has no idea what I'm going to ask her. And I love it. So how do you feel about delegating? How do you delegate? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes, delegating is important. And that is something that I have worked on so much because I, like probably many of your listeners, lots of high achievers. I mean, we're control freaks, y'all. We like to control and have our arm and death grip on every single thing. However, that is not a healthy or sustainable way to accomplish things. And actually, if you try to do everything, you will accomplish nothing. So what I have learned is really being and taking an honest look at the tasks and things that I have to do and that I need to accomplish and asking myself honest questions about what is actually mine, what is mine to take care of? And do I really, like, is it really mine? Like asking myself again, is this something that somebody else could do? Is this not in my zone of genius? Do I really hate this? Like there is, for instance, and let's just use the common example of getting your house cleaned. I don't want to do the laundry. I don't want to clean the toilets, but you know what? I have a wonderful lady. It gives her so much joy to come clean my house. It literally gives her joy to come and help me do that. Mm-hmm, so why would I not delegate that? And time is money, y'all. Like time is money. And if you want to actually move forward and accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in your life, you are going to have to let go of some things, especially when you're moving into new seasons. What works in one season is not going to work in another season. There are things that are going to have to be let go of and fall away. And it's just asking yourself honest questions about that to get honest answers.
I love it. So much going through my head. So a couple of things as you're talking. So I was told by someone very smart a long time ago, you either have more money or time. You either have more money or more time, and it's a trade-off. You know, you just said time is money. So if you have more time than money, then you would probably do some of the things that you don't particularly want to do or are that you're not particularly great at. Let's say it's in building your business. This is a great example. So you're building your business. You don't have a lot of money. You're just starting. So you're going to do everything. You're going to do as much as you can, and because you have the time. Then as your business grows, you get busy, you have less time, but you have more money. And that's when you can start to delegate. So one of the most common mistakes I see a lot of women make when they first go out on their own is, you know, well, I'm going to invest in my website right away. And they go out and they spend $10,000, $15,000 and they build this beautiful website. First of all, you probably don't have the money if you're just starting out on your own. Second of all, it's probably going to change quite a bit, you know, and evolve over the years. And you have the time to do it, or you have the time to think about it. So, you know, it's doing and paying for the things you need to pay for and do versus what do I have more of right now, time or money, and how can I prioritize? I think that's a really important differentiator.
Absolutely. And you can, as your business does start to grow, that's when you really need to start asking yourself those questions and kind of like listing out, like, what do you do every day? Like start to finish, like, what do you do? Like, what are even the minutiae, like the emails and the this and the that, like, you got to get down to the nitty gritty. Like, those are the small, simple ways where you can save time and money by delegating in small ways.
Absolutely. And another piece of advice I got a long time ago, I loved this. I worked with a leadership coach. So Podsters, we're talking probably 20 years ago, and it still sits with me as a leader. So if you're in corporate America, or if you're running your own company, what is it that only I can do? And that would be the lens that he was rigorous with us. You do not get paid to do these things. You get paid to lead. So we have a lot of executives, senior executives that listen to this podcast. So if you're spending your time doing things that someone else can do, you're doing a disservice to your team. And I would, you know, I mean, I would make that connection with entrepreneurs too. What do you think, Erin?
Oh, absolutely. You are doing a disservice to your team, because that's the thing. When you delegate and you let people then go and work in their zone of genius, massive growth happens. You're holding on to something that you don't do 100% well. What if you gave that to someone who did do it 100% well? Then together as a team, you guys are moving forward. You're actually holding yourself back by not letting people shine in their zones of genius.
I totally agree. And I'm thinking about, I'm not a big detail person. I'm just not. I never have been, never will be. I'm a career salesperson, never really into the details. I mean, the important stuff I pay attention to. And I would keep all of the detail work to myself. And when I hired someone to do all of that, my business exploded. So, you know, we're in this scarcity mindset where we think, you know, I'm not making enough money. I can't invest in a VA or whatever the case may be. And to your point, Erin, you are holding yourself back, because that's not what you're put on this earth to do. It's not. It's really, and the more you invest in outsourcing, I'm a big proponent of outsourcing at work and at home, by the way. The more you outsource, the more time you free up for yourself to really make the big moves and come up with a creative genius. Yeah. What about at home? So do you delegate at home?
Oh, yes. I mean, and that's been another thing, right? Because you, as moms and as a wife, like, I have had to put down old narratives of all of these things that I quote unquote should be doing. Right. I should, because I am this. This is what my mom did. I should be taking care of all the house. I should be working. I should be doing the laundry. I should be, should. Well, you know what? I can't. It is not physically possible for me to do those things. So I am going to have to put to bed the old notion of whoever is telling me of how I should be, and just say, this is what Erin needs. This is what Erin wants as a family. And my husband and I, as a couple and as a family, we have decided this is what's in our best interest for everybody to be able to be happy, fulfilled, functioning at 100%. So that means for me, that means outsourcing meals. That means hiring someone to clean my house. She does my laundry. You know, like, sometimes I have, you know, people watch my kids. Like, there's just stuff that I have decided and accepted and given myself grace and compassion to say that I cannot do all the things. And so in order for me to be successful and happy, these are the things that I am outsourcing and delegating.
I love it. I love it. And even if you weren't, so stay with me here, Putzer. So this is work-life blending. So you said a few things there, which really resonated. You said strategic decisions and grace, right? So let's say you want to have balance, and we all know balance is a mythical unicorn. It does not exist. There, balance by definition is equal energy, and it's never going to happen. But that's okay, because if you work on a Saturday morning when, for whatever reason, you need to work and someone watches the kids or hangs out with the kids or makes breakfast with the kids or whatever, that is a strategic decision that you have made, and then honor those decisions. So you and your partner or you and your life, whatever, you have decided, I'm gonna work on Saturday morning. That's okay. That doesn't mean I don't have balance. It means I'm blending, because the reason I'm working on Saturday morning is because I took all day Friday off to go to the beach with my kids, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's really making those decisions, but then honoring them and sticking to that. That's where I think a lot of women go into the guilt and shame spiral. And, you know, they make the decisions, but then they question them later.
I think to piggyback on that, I think the reason why we do that is because we are not in full acceptance of the season of life that we are in, because that's what life is. It is simply seasons. So what works in one season may not work in another season. And it's giving yourself grace and compassion again to just be like, okay, this may be the setup right now. This may be how this has to work right now, but it's not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. This is just a season, right? So when we start to guilt and shame ourselves, it's not accepting the season that we're in. It's saying, okay, this is the season I'm in, but oh my God, I should be back here, or I should have been when I didn't have kids, or when I was like this and I had this time, it should have been this way. We guilt and shame ourselves for past or future versions of ourselves that don't exist right now. It's accepting what is happening right now and setting yourself up to win in this season, knowing that everything is going to change, and that's okay.
It's too bad you're not passionate about this at all.
At all. Jeez. I don't talk about it at all. I don't talk to anybody, you know, I mean, it's just a shame, right?
Yeah. I love it. I couldn't agree more. And you said a couple of things. I try not to use the word shame. Words matter here at Unmute Yourself, the podcast. And even in my personal life, I just texted somebody the other day. I said, let's try not to use the word should. Because with should comes shame. You can say would like to, would have preferred. When you say should, that is a negative, negative. You're beating yourself up. And who says you should have or shouldn't have? It's totally subjective. So we try not to say that word around here.
I call it shoulding on yourself, and we should not do that.
Yeah, no, we're not going to should on ourselves. So talk about seasons, because I love this. And how old are you?
I will be 44 in April.
Okay. So happy almost birthday. I find the older women get, the more they understand this concept of seasons, because you've been through them and you realize that, you know, the sky didn't fall, the ground didn't fall out from under me. It was simply a phase in my life. So tell me more about seasons, because I really want to make sure we have many younger followers, and I picked up a bunch of younger followers over the past few months, and I want to make sure that they can hear this and really hear it. So tell us about seasons.
Yes, I think seasons are just taking a look at where you are in life right now. And it's always evaluating what are your priorities and what are your values in this season. And also knowing that it is okay that they can change over time. So when you start out in your career, your values and your priorities are going to be different than they are 5 years, 10 years down the road. And that's okay. It's just constantly checking in with yourself over time, because when things start to feel hard, life feels hard, you're ill and tired and grouchy, like that is a time where you need to check in and say, like, am I aligning my life and career right now with my values and priorities? Like, what is off? Like, something is off right now. And it's starting to ask yourself questions. So if you've got, like, if you're a young mom, it's okay to understand, like, to accept, like, in this season, life is not going to look like it did 6 months ago when you didn't have any kids and you were able to work at a certain capacity and in a certain way with a certain mindset. Now that you have a young baby, that mindset is different, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that you cannot be successful in this season. We have to bless and release the old seasons and step into the new seasons. It's like the new wineskins that, you know, that's what it is. But it's the acceptance part of it that is so key. I think we can see seasons in hindsight, but it's having the acceptance part of it that really is going to give you that grace and compassion. And then the learning from the past season to take into the next one with you.
I love it. And even plan for it, right? So that's what career planning is. That's what life planning is. That's what retirement planning is. It's what's my life going to look like? What are my priorities going to be? How do I want to be spending my time? How do I not want to be spending my time? What does the perfect day look like? It's really powerful. And I want to say reverse engineer, but that's not what I mean. I would suggest looking forward. Danny and I have been doing that. He's getting pretty close to retirement, and it's what does that look like? What do we want to be doing? Because what I'm afraid will happen is you wake up, you're in the middle of that season, and you're like, oh, now what? I didn't plan for this. My expectations aren't aligned with what's happening. And it can get very dodgy, I guess. I don't know.
And that's the beauty of vision casting. And that's the beauty of putting yourself, like, that's why awareness is so beautiful and so crucial. And when we actually sit down and ask ourselves these questions and answer them, we do, in a sense, reverse engineer, right? It's like, okay, well, if in 3 to 5 years, my husband's going to be retired and we want our life to look like this, what are we going to need to start doing today to set ourselves up for that life? Small, simple changes over time make massive, massive changes. You're not going to get, you don't need to be like, oh my gosh, we need to like buy plane tickets and move to Bali. Like, we're not doing that. We just, what small, simple things can we start doing today to set ourselves up for that big picture that we've set, that vision that we've cast for ourselves?
100%. And actually, you can probably hear that. Can you hear the birds in the background?
I cannot. Are they singing? Do they love that line?
Oh, they are. No, they're incredibly loud because I'm in Florida. And the reason why I'm in Florida is because we think that eventually, many years from now, we might entertain being snowbirds. Great. If that's something that we think might be, in our future, let's try it out. Let's go down for a few weeks. Let's see what it's like. Let's understand, the neighborhoods and the communities and the people, and because then by the time you get to that season, you're ready and you're so peaceful and so aligned. That to me is the Holy Grail. Like, that's it. That's it. Yeah.
And that's why awareness is your superpower. Like, it's not doing you any favors to keep your head in the sand and hope it's going to get better tomorrow. You've got to be aware and take actually intentional action to create the life that you want. No one's going to get up and knock on your door and hand it to you. You got to get up and start creating it.
I have a huge smile on my face because this is what we are all about here. It is do the thing. No one's going to do it for you. Okay. So you talk about aligning careers with values and priorities. Is that how you took a step out of being a lawyer? Tell us about your journey from attorney to what you're doing now.
Well, I wish that I could say that my decision leaving the law was given so much forethought. And I was like, oh yes, I'm aligning my career right now with my priorities and my values. No. I practiced law for about 7 or 8 years. I was in big law and worked during the 08 and 09 financial crisis, which was a very interesting time. I ended up leaving big law after that and then went in-house, and I became a mom at that point in my career. And like many legal professionals, and I'm sure lots of females in the law can understand and resonate with this, it just was very incompatible with life, basically. And I, at that time, did not have a mentor. I did not have a community. I didn't have other people in the legal profession being like, hey, Erin, like, I know this is hard and like this feels like this, but there are like other options. Like, there's other ways you can do this. It felt very much like, oh, do you want to be a lawyer or are you going to go be a mom? Because there was no flexibility or in between. And so I literally just like peaced out and quit that job, which that is a 1 out of 10 recommend to your viewers. Like, please, please do not do what I did and just walk in there and like have one of those moments. There was a lot of buildup to that. And I actually, like, in hindsight, would probably do it that way again, but for everyone, that is a 1 out of 10 recommend. But anyway, what happened though, when I ended up deciding to stay home with my daughter, I had another child in about a 2-year span, and I was having a major identity crisis. It was like, who is Erin if she is not a lawyer? Like, I've done this whole thing. I've worked my whole life. I've always been achieving. And now I'm like, who is she? What does she want? What is she even like? I do not know. And so that was really the beginning of me being honestly forced into this journey of who is Erin and what does she actually want out of her life? I went back to part-time law when my younger daughter was like 2 and some change, and it was still very unaligned, but I actually found a network marketing opportunity, and I had never been exposed to that ever. But in my mind, I saw an opportunity to make money in a different way. And I had never done any sales. In fact, I remember graduating from college and being like, the last thing I want to do is sales. Like, what? I mean, it's just so crazy the things we think when we're 20 years old. But anyway, so I started this business, and you guys, it's just one decision can completely change your entire life. It's just taking a chance on something. And I wanted to not be in law so bad that I was willing to do whatever it took to do something else. But what I learned in that network marketing opportunity, I built a huge organization. I started leading and mentoring other women to build businesses, you know, that are successful and bringing in income for their families. And I was like, this is my gift. Like, I can do this. This is amazing. And I also learned sales, marketing, you know, like customers, all of these things in a vacuum that I never would have been able to learn in any other scenario. And I was like, I can build my own brand. Like, I can do this. It was just a completely eye-opening, different perspective experience. And so I just went all in. I'm the queen of messy action. When I get something in my mind, I just start going. And so I could not shake the feeling that I had a way to impact female lawyers. They were constantly in my life. Like, I was just meeting them randomly, like in the line getting coffee. I'm like, okay, God, I see you. So I just knew that there was a way to be able to serve female lawyers. And it's always been about community. When I think about what I needed and what is lacking from the law for women, it is community and connection. It is so isolating. I remember feeling so alone walking away from the law. Like, I was crazy. There was something wrong with me, that I was a failure, that I couldn't hack it, right? There are all of these emotions that go along in this profession. It's so difficult, and you don't have anyone to talk to. Who are you going to talk to about that? If your husband's not a lawyer, or you don't have like a community, like, are you going home and saying, oh my God, this motion was blah, 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 blah. Who are you telling that to? Mm-hmm, and so you just internalize all of that. And at the end of the day, we're lonely and isolated, and community is everything. So Powerhouse Lawyers was born. I literally almost a year ago decided that I was going to have retreats for female lawyers. I said, I cannot understand why all of these powerhouses are not together. Why are we not in a room, information sharing, connecting, networking, elevating each other, empowering each other, reminding each other who the hell we are and what we're capable of? And so I created it. I got on an Airbnb and booked the thing in front of the money and just put it in the universe. And we're having our third one in 2 weeks. So I would say that was a good call. And yeah, I just can't wait to expand this community. It's just based out of everything I did not have when I was a lawyer and everything that I needed. And so it's very full circle and it's real fun.
That's great. That's great. I mean, your energy is contagious around this. There is no question. So there was no playbook. There was no one tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, Erin, we think you should do this. This was a need that you felt and you just did it. Yeah, I love it. I love it. What would you have done differently? Anything in retrospect?
No, actually, I don't think I would have done anything differently in retrospect, because if I'd had time to think about it, I may not have done it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you think about it a little too long and I might've talked myself out of it. I think that that's kind of the beauty of messy action. And what that does is build confidence over time. The more, you know, the more action you take, you build up that confidence muscle, and your threshold for risk increases as well. So you don't feel as scared to take a bigger step or to take a bigger risk as you build that confidence muscle, but you have to take the first step forward. So no, I don't think I would do anything differently. And knowing my personality, I'm an overthinker. So I probably would have overthought the whole thing.
Exactly. Right. Well, that's the thing is I call it the paralysis of perfection, which I'm sure other people have heard that expression before. You can either do it or you can try to do it when everything is perfect. And if you try to do it when everything's perfect, you're not going to do it. Right. You probably won't do it. So tell me about the evolution of the podcast. So you woke up one morning and said, I should do a podcast. Like, how did that go?
Well, it was honestly just an expansion of the conversations that I was already having. We mentioned at the beginning of this podcast about LinkedIn, and I had been having, dozens upon dozens of conversations with just amazing powerhouse lawyers who were doing incredible things, who had all had incredible journeys of how they got there, what their story was. And there is such power in stories. If you can just hear through your ear right now in this podcast, something that I say or that Nancy says that can completely change the trajectory of your life and your mindset and your entire perception of the world and what you can accomplish and what is available to you. And so I couldn't not start a podcast. It's kind of how I felt. I was like, I have to start this podcast because there are so many stories that need to be told. If I had heard even one of the stories on my podcast, I would have been like, wait, what? You can actually do that? Like, wait a second, that's possible? I mean, I had never heard about a limiting belief or your subconscious mind or like your thoughts produce actions, emotional intelligence, like none, like what? That was like complete Chinese to me. And
right.
Before I, embarked on this journey. So knowledge is power, stories are power. And it was, I couldn't not start the podcast. And I mean, honestly, Nancy, like you and I are just such extroverts. Like we can't not have a podcast. Like, I mean, like give us a mic and a guest and a combo and we're ready to go.
Totally. So why do you think, this is great because everything I wanted to ask you, you're laying up for me perfectly. Why do you think women hold themselves back?
Women hold themselves back because ultimately I don't think that we have the confidence or we think we're worthy of that. I think that there from a long, long time ago when we were kids, just the narrative of, women just in general, we don't feel like we can ask for the same things as men don't even think twice about asking for. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think we're capable. We don't think we're qualified. There's a reason why, what's the statistic? Like a man will apply to a job where he like has less than 20% of the requirements or something. And a woman is like 80, that's just, it's the mindset that we don't think we're qualified. I was reading your book. That's what I was just reading. Like the first chapter of your book.
The statistic, I love it, is actually women will only go for a job if they have 100% qualified.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
Men will go if they're like 60. The difference is, men know they don't know everything, but they will still go for it. They still go for it. So like imposter feeling, which is what I call imposter syndrome, because you're not sick, you don't have a disease, you're not in the hospital. It's a feeling, right? So men have imposter feeling too. Tom Hanks, David Bowie, Charles Schulz, the CEO of Starbucks, imposter syndrome. They do it anyway. And that is where women, myself included, I've done it, you've done it, we've all done it. That is where we hold ourselves back. And it's a choice. We don't have to.
Right. And it's just, again, it's building that confidence muscle over time and just expanding your threshold for risk and really reminding yourself constantly of who you are and who you are, not who anybody else says you are, who you know you are. And in today's day and age, that is very hard to remind yourself of. There's a lot of noise. Everywhere you look, as soon as you open your eyes in the morning, there is somebody telling you who you should be, what you should do, how much money you should be making, how you should be working, et cetera. It's keeping the blinders on and reminding yourself in the times when it gets really hard, who the hell you are.
Because you're the only one that knows, right? You know. Yeah.
And nobody's coming to cheer you along. That's the other thing that I have learned. No one is coming to cheer you along in this life. You have got to learn to be your own biggest advocate, your own biggest cheerleader, celebrate the small wins. The fact that you showed up, put your clothes on and went to work today is a freaking win. Like celebrate that. That's the stuff that we have to remind ourselves of every single day that is going to make us feel more and more and more and more worthy of knowing that we are capable of taking and having whatever we want.
I love that, because the flip side of that, as you were talking, I was thinking, somebody asked me the other day, what's one of the number one things your coaching clients struggle with? And I said, you know, they truly don't believe that the life that they want is available to them. They don't believe it. They think it's for other people. They think, you know, well, no, I could never possibly have this dream life that, you know, whatever that looks like to them. And they don't believe it. And because they don't believe it, they don't take the moves to go get it. And that blows my mind, because Putzers, Aaron, me, we are both here to tell you, it is available to you 1,000%. Did you ever in a million years think that you'd be running this huge online community, hosting these retreats and these bougie locations and have your following and have a pot? I mean, never, right?
No, I mean, right. People be like, I mean, y'all, people come to me like, oh my God, I love your podcast. And I get in the car and I'm like, what? It's like crazy to me. But it is. It's just going after it. And once you go and you see, and the next step reveals itself, and you start to, like, it slowly starts to unfold, it, like, the whole, like, the curtain starts to move back, and you're like, I just got to keep going one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I want to go back to something you said earlier about, oh, when I said, would you do anything differently? Because it reminded me of a story I want to share. So I hired a coach, I don't know, probably about 5 years before I ended up leaving my huge corporate job. And this is so funny. So I hired a coach. We worked on at what would the business look like. We worked on my limiting beliefs. We worked on all that stuff. She changed my life. She totally changed my life. And probably 5 years later, I had done all the work. I still hadn't really taken the leap. I was at SoulCycle on my bike, and the instructor said something. I don't remember what it was, but I remember I was so here for it. She, you know, something like, you never try, you'll never know, or something like that. It was something, you know, and I got off the bike, I went home, I resigned, and that was it. Like, it was, you never know where that inspiration is going to come from. So if you do the groundwork, right, 1 out of 10 recommendation, just tell them to take this job and shove it. If you do the groundwork, that the moment will come where you know you're ready. And I find a lot of the people or the women I work with, they don't know that they're ready, and they are. They just don't know yet. So you have to be on the lookout for that, the universe or whoever telling you that you're ready.
And that's the other thing of get yourself in community, because when you don't think you're ready, you got a whole community of people being like, girlfriend, you ready? Like, don't even play with me right now. You're so damn ready. You couldn't even be more ready. Like, let's go, you know, and have to push you out of the nest. So like, that is really like, that is where community can completely change your life and your business, to be surrounded by women who are also elevating and going in places in their lives so they can remind you who you are.
I love it. Community, so they can remind you who you are. I love that. That's awesome. So what else do you have? Because that's a great way to end, but what else do you have? I mean, I love it. And I would say, you know, I would say surround yourself with people who remind you who you are, you know, like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think people, they get caught up in this community. They're like, I have community. Well, I think we need to understand that we also need community for different facets and aspects of our life. Like, you need mom community, you need church community, right? Mm-hmm. You need professional community. And lawyers in particular think, because they work in an office, and I think probably corporate execs think this too, just because they work in an office, they think they have community. That is not community.
No.
Those are your coworkers. And while some of those people may be your friends and like your legit good friends, that I am not even saying is bad, but you need to have a community separate and aside from where your energy is every day, with other professionals who are on the same level as you and or going to the same places that you want to go. And those are intentional friendships. You have to go out and seek those places and those people. You may have to get uncomfortable for our introverts, right? You may have to get in, but you can be strategic about where you spend your time and who you meet. So that's what I do have to say about community, is just acknowledging that you may think you have it, but you don't. And also knowing that you need it in every kind of pocket of your life.
And you have to do the work. You have to do the work, right? Right. Yeah.
You have to be a part of the community. Like, again, we would love our business besties to come knocking on our door with a glass of wine. That is not happening. That would be awesome. But that is not happening. You have to A, put yourself in the places and do the work to, you know, facilitate and add value to their life as well. This is a give and take kind of thing.
I love it. So tell us about your retreats, because we do have, you know, several followers in the legal profession.
Yes, absolutely. So I have a community plus a in-person experience. Our next one is happening in the fall. But yeah, so I host in-person retreats for female lawyers. I bring you guys together like never before. I obviously there is on-site coaching, and I bring in industry experts that are going to help you guys elevate your life and your business in the places that it needs to be elevated. And then you're also really the key to these retreats, Nancy, is getting away. That's really the first key, is getting these women away from their everyday life and law hectic. Cause we all know, as much as we try and have downtime in our regular everyday life, it's really not down. You know, there's still some background noise. So it's getting you out of your everyday environment and giving these women just a chance to breathe, like literally just breathe, take a deep breath and actually think about what they want. Where are they going? Like, what is working? What is not working? And where do you need help? And what do you want more of? And now I've put, you know, people get very paralyzed in the how. How am I going to expand my business? How am I going to go out on my own if I want to start my own law practice? How? It's never the how. It's always the who. Who do you know? Who is in your network? Who, you are literally one connection away, one question away from figuring out 95% of the answers of your life and your business. So that is really what I do. I provide you with all in the room. They're the industry experts, there's a coach, and then there's all of the other powerhouse women that are in this room that are going to help you walk out of there, remind you who you are, and you're going to have a freaking action plan and a support system on how to take your life and your business to the next level. It is
That's awesome.
So powerful. I mean, as I know that I'm the facilitator of this retreat, but as someone who has been searching her entire career for this community and then for it to like unfold and watch it happen is like, honestly, like career 10 out of 10.
Love it. Love it. And if you're not an attorney, that's okay. I listen to Erin's podcast. It's awesome. Plenty of nuggets to go around. So tell everybody where they can find you.
Yep. So I am Powerhouse Lawyers. That's the name of my podcast. I am at Erin Gerner, E-R-I-N, on LinkedIn, on Instagram. You can find me there. And ErinGerner.com is my website. You can find out all the information about me, my programs, my retreats, my podcast. I host happy hours every other Thursday. They're free to form community. So yeah, you can find out all the info there.
Where are the happy hours?
They're actually virtual. So we have them every other Thursday. Yep, they're virtual. And those are actually not just limited to lawyers. I have just people who work with lawyers or in the legal arena. I just think it's really important to have a place for people to come to form community, to ask questions, and for them to really form the Rolodex of their dreams, right? So they have whoever they need on speed dial. And I want to be the facilitator of that.
I love it. So Podsters, get in the game, find Erin, join a happy hour, go to the retreat, listen to her podcast. When's your book coming out?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. We'll have to do that too. That's TBD. Yep.
All right, watch for the book. And Erin, thank you so much.
And thank Podsters, you so much. This was so much fun.
It was fun. And I will be back, Podsters, next week. Until then, peace out.
That's a wrap, Podsters. And before we go, I ask you, what's one thing from today's episode that you'll use this week to unmute yourself? DM me, email me, send a smoke signal, whatever you need to do. Let me know what you're going to do differently. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with someone you know and leave a 5-star review on Apple. This helps me spread our message of empowerment to more people worldwide. Let's do this.